T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Are you anticipating more players deciding to opt out?
My crystal ball is kind of cloudy right now, so I have no idea what will happen along those lines. They had to make the decision that was best for them, and I totally respect and support it 100%.
I think it's an absolute joke that the NFL is changing the opt-out period, mainly because they don't want to continue to see guys opt out. I think it's terrible. I think it's BS.
My disagreement with McCourty is ripping the NFL. This nation hasn't been prepared. So the NFL is just as clueless as a lot of other people.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on the OMF. If you missed it, the Patriots are the leaders in the board right now of opt-out players. Though I did see two of the Denver Broncos opted out today, so maybe they're going to catch up the Patriots.
But the Patriots win it everything.
We had two more this weekend, guys. Matt Lacoste and Marquise Lee. Either one of you distraught?
Well, I would say Marquise Lee probably just, he's probably smart taking $150,000.
Yeah, I would see that. That's probably a guy that probably wasn't going to make the team anyways.
But Lacoste? Well, listen, I'm not heartbroken, but I mean, there's. I would like to have some depth at tight end and not just leave it up to two rookies.
You thought there was something to it, you know. Last week before I left, it was six, and that was the most any team had. And now what is it at, 9?
Yeah,
is it 9?
8.
Is that 8?
Yeah. So really, it was 5 last week. So
well,
there's
a couple guys you guys aren't counting because they're just not, they're no name guys.
Well, they may be opting out to collect $150,000 because they figure they're going to be, you know, selling Venetian blinds somewhere. They're out of football.
Yeah, but the whole talk last week was, hey, Bill is, you know, is Bill being Bill. He's ahead of all the other coaches. He's getting ahead of it early. He's kind of sending out a message. He's telling his guys, hey, listen, do me a solid. He's not directly saying, hey, I'm giving you a deadline that's going to be different than the NFL. But the narrative last week was, oh, you know, Bill, he's so ahead of everything, right? He's always ahead of the curve. He's doing things, you know, before other teams are doing it. And look, all these guys are going to opt out or opting out. He has all this extra money. He's got $25 million now.
He's going to jump on everybody in free agency.
He's playing chess. And what are they playing? Checkers. They're playing checkers.
So we got to jump. Yeah, he asked the guys nicely. I saw this from Dan Graziano, because we're talking about this opt-out deadline. He tweeted this out a little bit ago. Per source, NFL opt-out deadline is now expected to be Thursday or Friday. Attorneys continue to finalize language of the agreement, but it appears the NFLPA will agree to shorten the window between the agreement and deadline. So originally it was 7 days from the day they agreed. They haven't even agreed yet. They say in return for some concessions on the final language. So the deal was, once they agree, it'll be 7 days. They haven't agreed yet, and they're expecting a deadline to be Thursday or Friday.
So the league was trying to move it up to tomorrow or Wednesday,
right?
Because they were sensing that there were agents out there that were making calls to teams, basically saying, my guy's a little bit concerned. But you know what? If you redo the contract now, he might be able to look the other way on this coronavirus stuff. And then there were other players who apparently were looking at it saying, I got no chance of making that team. So I tell you what, I'll take the $150,000, because next year, the year after, I'm still not making that team, so I don't have to pay him back. Or the $350,000 if you could come up with some case of asthma or some other condition that you have. The Devin McCourty comment over the weekend has got to be concerning. And the question is he standing up for all of the players in the league, Or is he giving us a hint that he needs more time because he hasn't made that decision yet of whether to opt out? This was Devin McCourty.
I think it's an absolute joke that the NFL is changing the opt-out period, mainly because they don't want to continue to see guys opt out. I'm sure they're shocked about how many guys have opted out. But it's the same thing when we sign a CBA. Sometimes some of those things that we think are good sometimes backfire. You know, we have rookies who are locked in long-term contracts and tagged. You guys don't think we would love to change that about the CBA, but we can't. That's the point of signing an agreement. So I think it's terrible. I think it's BS that the league has changed that date.
And that's all he would say, by the way. He didn't talk about anything else. So you guys tell me. You concerned that he's opting out?
Me personally, no. No, I don't think there's a chance that he opt out because I think McCourty is a smart man. I think he knows the platform that he has if a season exists, if a season starts and ends like it's supposed to, especially now more than ever. Like, you can sit there and look at the NBA and look at those guys, and in the beginning, we don't want to play. But if they didn't play, they were missing a huge opportunity to promote the message that they needed to: equality, social justice, everything that they've been talking about, Black Lives Matter. So there's no way McCourty is going to miss an opportunity to use his voice to influence. And because if he's not there, Lou, like, nobody wants to hear from Devin McCourty.
Oh, double coverage. He's still got his podcast.
But he's not. There's no boots on the ground, Devin McCourty, if he's not playing.
I get that.
I'm just hearing his opinion. I'm not basing anything on real facts of him actually living it.
I would agree when it comes to that. Like, you know, just like Kyrie Irving talking about, you know, we shouldn't play games, we're going to lose focus. Well, no. Actually, if you play games, you can discuss it. Like every NBA player is. No matter what the question is, they talk about social injustice first, and then they answer a question. So, yes. But I am concerned about both McCourty's opting out because I think they're both prime candidates. And when I look at guys opting out, I think of veterans who've accomplished a lot, who've won Super Bowls, who've played in this league a very long time, who have made some money, are sitting there saying, really? Is this what I want to do right now? I'm seeing what's going on in Major League Baseball. We're not in a bubble. It's going to be very similar. Am I going to bust my ass all week long to wake up Saturday to find out I can't play on Sunday? We're going to shut the season down midway through the season? Are we going to play 8 games, 10 games? You know what? This ain't worth it. I love hanging out with my brother. I love my mom. Can come watch us both. But if we don't play, we can hang out with our mom all we want.
See,
I can sit at home. Like, to me, he's a candidate for opting out, and I'm still concerned about it.
See, if it was just a pandemic, I'm saying yes. I don't think half these guys would play. Like, is it really worth it?
So you think they're gonna like play that just to be able to have a voice?
Oh yeah,
in social injustice, and that's it.
Yeah, I think Glenn brought this up, and I noticed it also. I do feel like there's a different tone with him. Him in particular, because we play a lot of his sound. He's on TV a lot. I mean, every ESPN, Fox, they're all using Devin McCourty as, like, because, like, he's the voice not only for the Patriots but for all these football players, because he's well respected, has a lot of credibility, been in the league a long time, like, smart, and he's been on this subject for a long period of time. There is no way, if I was him and I had this opportunity to comment, to keep the ball rolling, because if everyone is nervous that it's going to die out, well, then you got to have somebody who's kind of fed up with the whole process and is done being taken advantage of, and is done being pushed around. Devin McCourty, even though he may have some fears, inherent fears, I don't think he would be willing to pass up the opportunity to continually make a difference.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I do, and we've talked a lot with Devin over the years, and he's been open in talking about Kaepernick and social injustice issues or whatever. But I do believe there's a difference in the tone. I think he was careful as to what he said in the past. I think these guys are empowered right now, Lou. They now know, and I've heard a lot of NBA players talk about it. Russell Westbrook talked about it after the game, how they feel it is more important than even playing basketball, that they now stand up and get the message out there. And I think you're hearing it from McCourty. I think they feel now we're empowered. There are people that are very supportive of us. And by the way, there are a lot of people that are afraid to even challenge them on any of this stuff. So they get to speak.
I get it.
The media is asking him questions now about this and not necessarily asking him sports questions.
No, I understand. But I just think that if it's more about the pandemic, it's more about COVID, it's more about playing this season and what it's like for these guys. But I go back to, like, McCourty just talking about them moving this test date. I don't understand the anger? What's he so upset about? Is it just principle that this is what they agreed on and the NFL is not sticking to that 1 week thing? Because what is the difference? So Thursday or Friday comes around. If you opt out, you get $150,000, right? Some of these guys, they just, but you know what? You're just borrowing it. Like when they resume football and you come back in 2021, they're going to take it out of your pay. So it's $150,000. So a lot of these guys, you know, if they're making $8, $10, $15 million a year, $150,000 that they're just borrowing, they got to pay back next year.
Yeah, but do you? But
what's the deal? Why are you so upset about the deadline for opting out? Because last I checked, if the deadline's Thursday or Friday, and you want to opt out next Friday, no one's putting a gun to your head. It's not like, hey, if you don't opt out by Friday, whatever the deadline is, then you absolutely 100% got to finish this season. You got to play. This is your last chance. You can't decide on your own to opt out. I mean, that's not the case.
Well, that's why I asked the question.
Opt out whatever the hell you want.
That's why I asked the question. It's one of two things, Lou. It's either he's thinking about opting out and he needs the additional time to make that decision.
Well,
or
he can take all the time he wants, Glenn.
Right. Or he's empowered right now and he feels that where he's been a little reluctant, he clearly is everything that Christian said, really bright, really understands this stuff. He's always been that. Now he's empowered. Now he feels he doesn't have to wait until he gets a phone call from the Patriots. Screw you. I'm going to make whatever statement I want to make right now. And he's more empowered. But I agree about what difference does the date make. So let's say you go into camp and we find out some other guys start testing positive. They were irresponsible players, young players going out partying, doing whatever. And suddenly we get eight guys who get it on a Thursday at a practice 2-3 weeks into it. What's to say that other players, mama at home, or they have a mother or whatever that is ill, is not going to sit there and say, I don't want you near me right now. And that person says, you know what? I'm out. I'm not putting up with this crap. I'm out.
Well, can I take a crack at this whole why Please. He's really mad? Because the way I interpret it is that he felt like the league was trying to manipulate the players. Hey, we see that you guys are starting to opt out. It looks bad. Screw it. We're going to cut it short. We're going to cap it now instead of giving you 2 weeks to think about it, because we know if we give you more time, more guys may get scared.
But it was a power play.
No, but nobody, listen, I think you mentioned it. Like I'm done being manipulated by you. I'm done with you telling me what is going on. We're all negotiating in good faith. And here you go trying to take advantage after we've already kind of agreed that we're all in this together. So we agree that we're all in this together. We say we're going to play. You're going to give us a certain amount of time to opt out with some stipulations, you know, based on, you know, the protocols with opting out. Yet here you go trying to move it up so guys have to hurry up and force the decision when they're not ready. And, of course, most of them are going to sit there and say, screw it, I got to play.
So take your time. And if you decide in a week, opt out.
I know, but that's you're missing it then if you think that's all there is to it. If I'm a player, like Major League Baseball, were you happy with the way they were manipulating the situation, the way Manfred was basically lying to you and it was going to be 60 games all along? You knew it. The Major League Baseball players knew it. Everybody knew it. But here we go. Let's act like the emperor has no clothes on. Like, I'm going to pee on your head and tell you it's raining.
I get it.
Stop.
But when it came to opt-outs, it was different. I mean, if you had pre-existing or if you could prove you had some issues, whatever, and you opted out in baseball, there was a deadline back then. And it was, you know, full pay, service time. You know, if you didn't have any reason, yeah, no pay. So you had a decision to make. If you had some kind of pre-existing condition, you opt out and you get everything. With the NFL, it's $150,000 or $350,000. So your contract goes to next year. I mean, all right, $150,000. Oh, by the way, you got to pay it back to me. That wasn't the case with baseball. You could opt out because you got a pre-existing condition and collect your $10 million in service time. Football, $150,000, you got to pay back. So, Devin, you're not ready to make a choice on Friday. Okay, make it next week.
Yeah, but again,
you can still opt out if you want.
It's the fact that they were trying. It's principle. Already, that they were going to sit there and try and manipulate, take advantage of the situation based on what was currently, like, what had transpired. The Patriots, six guys. Now there's eight guys. You know, other teams opting out. Stars opting out. Guys getting skittish. Guys, you know, having second thoughts. Hey, we got to stop this. Let's move it up. So, bam. Sure, if you want to opt out a week later, fine. But we believe, owners, that once we get you in the locker room, you'll be convinced that you can't leave.
But it's just a power struggle, guys, because the NFL wanted a 7-day break on it after they signed this agreement, and the Players Association has been holding back from signing it. So they're finally playing this power play because they're realizing it might be delayed by the Players Association, so agents get more money out of teams, or guys can sit there and say, I'm not going to make a team and walk out. That's all this is. But again, why is he so adamant about it? And I'm wondering if he is still thinking of opting out. Because I think we'd have to admit, if he opts out, it is a major hit for the Patriots.
Well, Volman even tweeted this. I said, I was told Friday that Devin McCourty still hasn't made up his mind on playing this season. Today he didn't take any questions on his Zoom conference, didn't commit to playing, and complained about the NFL moving up the opt-out deadline. He's definitely on the fence.
If
Devin is out, do you think Jason's playing?
No.
Okay, yeah, but hold on. But read that again. Okay, so he's pissed. You don't need to read it again. He's angry. I think he's acting
on the fence.
I think that he's on the fence because of what they're doing. I think he's pissed.
The McCourty, I'll tell you what.
Screw you. I'm not going to play.
Devin and Jason McCourty away from me moving my over-under, by the way. I've moved it to 7.5. And it could go to 6. We're right back to where we started again. Cam Newton or no Cam Newton? 6. If you lose the McCourtys,
what if I
6.
Tell you lose the McCourtys, but you gain Delanie Walker?
5.5.
Why it's going lower with Delanie Walker? What is that?
Can we go back to 6?
Are we going
to
get carried away about Delanie Walker? If they bring Delanie Walker in, who has played how many games in the last 2 years? 7?
3.5.
He hasn't played much.
All that is a vet move. All that is you got all these young guys. I bring in a vet, established guy, captain.
And he may not even make the team.
Oh, no, he'll make the team. He won't practice. Mm-hmm. He won't do anything. Mm-hmm. No, because what they like to do, and I can give you a bunch of examples at a bunch of different positions, is two young guys. When was the last time you had two young tight ends come in at the same year?
Yeah.
Can you name me a couple guys?
Gronk and
Atlanta. Who was the guy they brought in?
Crumpler.
Yes.
Algie Crumpler. Right. Before that, it was me. Before that, it was Kyle Brady.
Right.
After that, it was the dude from Buffalo. But actually, you didn't even need him then because everybody was older. Scott Chandler. And then you have two young guys.
Yeah.
Malakoff was not going to mentor these guys. He does not have enough hair on his chest to do it.
So
I think Delanie Walker, Anthony Pleasant is a name I always bring up when I think of this position.
Who was good here?
Well, no, but he played 1 year, but the second year, my first year, he never practiced.
Yeah.
He was just a leader. He was just a great influence on younger guys. There's curse words playing on the radio. Turn it off. You know, listen, he was just always kind of well-respected guy.
Yeah, he's the guy in the room.
That's Delanie Walker.
Yeah.
Right. That's Delanie Walker.
But there's injuries. Much like Jordan Reed just signed with San Fran.
Saw that.
Concussions, injuries. The guy never plays
Jordan
either.
Reed would not be a guy that Bill would want. He wants Delanie Walker. Lots of experience. Captain, well-respected, will play 1 year, won't even play. But he'll make sure that, and then whoever the tight end coach, I forgot what his name is, doesn't have a ton of experience. So you bring Delanie Walker in here and say, this is the way you do it.
This
guy is telling you, but I've done it for 10 years. No. This is how you do it.
To answer your first question, no. You lose the McCourtys, you bring in Delanie Walker, it doesn't change my opinion. No, you lose the McCourtys, good night.
I will say this. I have been flirting with the idea of jumping ship.
Yes.
I have been flirting with the idea that
jumping what ship?
The 10-6
coming around.
The 10-6 just
coming around.
I'll tell you why. Because
I changed it to 7.5. It's my over under.
Because every sign,
wins.
I always hate when I just don't believe you don't believe your lion eyes. That whole saying that you hear so many times in football. When you think of all the people that are gone.
Let me help you. Can I?
Go ahead, please.
Right. Just a quick list. I mean, the McCourtys, we'll keep them off there for now.
Don't mention the McCourtys. They're not going anywhere.
All right, just guys that have just left.
Yeah.
Okay, so two guys who aren't even on your team, on your team, have left, but Marquise Lee, but Vitale is an important one, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Brady, Marcus Cannon, Devlin, Van Noy, Collins, Hightower, Landon Roberts, Danny Shelton, Daron Harmon, Patrick Chung, Bolden, Nate Ebner, Ted Karras, Matt Lacoste, and maybe if you put the McCourtys on there. So right now you're at 14 members of your team last year are gone. Jesus. Vitaly was to replace one of them. He's gone. So I count that as 15. And if you lose the McCourty's, 17 players? 16, 17 players of your roster last year? And who have you brought in? Maybe Delanie Walker?
Maybe.
Cam Newton? Who's the safety? Jordan Phillips? And Bo Allen? Really?
Again,
Adrian Phillips.
It's
really?
The longer
I... And we still think they're going to win 10. They lost 16 players from last year's football team.
Yeah.
So all their linebackers and their safeties, except for McCourty. They could lose all their safeties and every single linebacker and a nose tackle. But we still believe in the defense.
I'm trying to find this story I just read this weekend. We should try to find it. Bucky Brooks, who was pretty good at this stuff, wouldn't you say? Pretty good analyst.
A friend of the show.
Yeah. Like, he thinks the Patriots defense in 2020 will be better than in 2019.
They could have no
and by the way, he's been doing all 22s. He's been breaking it all down. And he believes that all of these different pieces that Bill Belichick is bringing in, and he broke down every single position defensively, will make them faster, more athletic.
What additions? Draft picks? And better.
That's it?
Oh, he loves Uche. He just adores him. He thinks they're going to be better. And by the way, he thinks the offense is going to be pretty good as well.
See, here's the thing.
I'm shocked reading this.
I don't want to hear could be. I could say could be about
he said will
anything.
Be. He said
oh, okay,
they will
be. All right, well, that's good.
Oh, he went out. No, he said
it,
he owned they will
it. Okay, good. Yes. But I would say if you blind taste test this defense, this team, the whole Coke challenge, okay, what do you, Coke versus Pepsi, if you didn't know, if you didn't see the brand, the Patriots have – the luxury of having this brand.
16 gone.
Which I know. So you sit there and you see the flying Elvis, you go, well, that's success. That's consistency. That's playoffs. That's Super Bowls. And you forget all the red flags. You forget all these people that are missing, all these important pieces, and you sit there and go, no freaking way.
So draft picks are gonna come in and replace these guys.
But you see the brand, you see the Elvis, and you say, you know what?
Yeah. Love the brand.
You refuse to believe what your eyes are telling you. Like, hey, 14, 15 guys, significant playmakers on both sides of the ball.
Special
your
teams.
Your quarterback, your offensive line coach, your glue of the offensive line.
Despite the presence
don't forget your special teams and wide receivers coach.
So everybody's gone.
He went to New York.
So they're basically, this is like a franchise team.
Joe Judge is gone.
He basically says, as he breaks down all of the players, and he mentions Van Noy, he mentions all the guys who are gone. It is a plug and play defense that is really operated by Bill Belichick. No, and he's the genius who puts it all together.
But that's so stupid.
He said the 2020 Pats defense might lack the sex appeal and sizzle of some of the other units at the top of the chart, but New England's collection of fundamentally sound blue collar defenders will simply get the job done by flying to the football and making solid tackles. The replacements are all ready to step up. And he goes through every one of the replacements. He talks about Winovich. He talks about Bentley taking over.
Oh,
he goes through every guy. So he breaks it down, he's breaking down film.
Do you believe any of that?
No, I think it's a stretch.
Oh, my God.
So I think they're going to be pretty good defensively. I think they're going to be much better than what you think. But to say that every one of these guys, that Uche, Anthony Jennings, is going to be able to just plug-and-play guy, that's a little too much.
The plug-and-play stuff is like, you know, you got Hightower and Van Noy, you grab a draft pick, right? You can plug-and-play because they're next to Van Noy and Hightower. You know, you grab a young safety, you know, you plug-and-play because he's next to McCourty and Chung. You know, I mean, it helps you out a little bit. You start pulling guys off this roster. You got so Juwan Bentley's going to be your lead linebacker, your Mike linebacker. He's going to lead, and you're going to be able to plug and play around Juwan freaking Bentley.
He's a blue collar guy, Glenn.
He's basically telling you by looking at
plug
all
and play
of this
around
video,
Duggar.
He's watched all this film, and he basically says that if you're thinking that the talent out there, those individuals, are what's going on, it's different. The secret sauce to the Patriots' success has been their ability to do simple things well. Belichick doesn't attempt to daze or confuse opponents with complex coverages and exotic blitzes. He opts for a simple scheme that places a premium on execution over trickery. Then he breaks down the Patriots are a man-to-man team with a weekly game plan that prominently features man-free coverage, cover one. Although Belichick will utilize a few different versions of the coverage, the scheme is essentially a four-man rush, five defenders in man coverage, aided by a low hole defender and a post safety. And basically, you just put new pieces out there one of these positions.
Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. But I swear to God, I feel like if the entire roster left, because, I mean, 16 is a pretty good amount, and he brought him in with a bunch of undrafted free agents and bottom-of-the-barrel free agents, Bucky Brooks would say the same thing. It's just plug and play. But you need guys to know the system. You need guys like Chung and Hightower and Van Noy and possibly Devin McCourty, for God's sakes. You need these guys who know the system to be able to have the plug and play next to them.
Well, here's why I think you have an argument on your side.
16 players are gone. We think they're going to win 10 games?
So if this
Brady's defense, one of them.
If this defense is going to be better than last year's defense, or let's say even the same as last year's defense, then all of those draft picks, those first and second year players, are going to have to make an impact. They're going to have to make an impact. It's got to be more than just the system, and I'm not knocking the system because I think he makes a good point about the system. But if those players can't do even the simplest thing that they're asked to do your job, if they can't do that because they're not good enough, they can't pick it up. And in a shorter summer now, where you don't have the time to go over all of this stuff with repetition after day after day after day, then I say it's shaky. And that goes back to your argument about are these guys good players that they draft.
I add this into it, right? So being a blue-collar player isn't enough. Like, you have to be a good blue-collar player, so one that's used to...
You got to understand it, too.
Well, I think that the one thing that we're missing is all those guys, they were all, in this system, great.
Yes.
Van Noy was great. Collins was great. Chung was great.
Collins was good.
But my point is, great base for that system, he was great for that system. You just relied on him. You didn't worry about him. He was athletic, whatever. In that system, they don't have a guy that can hold a candle to
the Patriots. This year will be the first team to have, what, six on the all-rookie teams? Because every draft pick is going to be a stud, right?
And to me, that is my
point. Single one.
So you look at the brand.
None of them will be on the pup list.
None of them. People ignore, and I feel like that's what I did. Like,
at least three of them.
You see the brand, you ignore. You ignore those issues. You ignore these rookies. You ignore these people who are not seeing it for what it is. The brand is still, is considered great. But holy cow, are you kidding me? So you're going to go out. This is almost like one of these impossible missions, right? It's like, yeah, you sit there and you go, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're gonna swim. We're not gonna have any boats. We're gonna swim from here to Hawaii, and when we get to Hawaii, we're gonna. I mean, like, this is impossible. You shouldn't.
So where are you right now? You're where are you?
Well,
you
I haven't decided yet.
Drop to.
I'm all over the place right now.
Seven and a half.
How's that I'm all any over different the place.
McCourty's bring it to six.
I'm all over the place.
Seven and a half right now. And if McCourty's are out, then it's down to six.
Like even though last year's defense was so. Ranked high in almost every single category, there were all these signs that said, don't believe it.
Last year?
Last year. They
weren't that good.
Last year.
They were okay. They were good. They were good defense.
Yeah, they were good, but there was no way they were considered the greatest of all time, which is what we were all kind of training towards.
Well,
you realize that there was a reason for every last situation, and it ended up being one of their biggest issues. I mean, even go back to the Miami game. You can't knock Fitzpatrick off the freaking field. Ryan Fitzpatrick ends up winning the game against you.
Obviously, Steph Gilmore is the defensive player of the year. And I guess I'm worried about the McCourtys, right? So let's just say the McCourtys don't feel like not playing.
Well, that's a problem.
Okay, who's the best defender other than Stephon Gilmore? Next best. J.C. Jackson?
Yes, maybe.
Then who?
Eh.
John Simon?
We're doomed.
Yes, that's
Terrence
my guy.
Brooks, really? Yeah,
that's my guy.
John Simon?
Really, yep, that's okay. My guy.
Chase Winovich?
Yeah, no, it's...
Okay,
he's got a rude awakening coming.
Okay.
All I'm telling you is...
Yeah, he's not going to just come in and they're going to double stunt to allow him to get sacks left and right, right? So,
the
defense is going to carry them. I don't know. Okay. Go get him.
Yeah, he seems to be really gung-ho. He said, after time studying the All-22 coaches film, also digging into my scouting reports on the New England's newcomers, he gives the three reasons why the Pats will once again field an elite defense this season.
There's some sort of robber here.
Nope.
Elite.
Not going to happen. I don't even think they were elite last year.
And I would say this, that for that to happen, some of these players. So now if you tell me that these players that we're talking about, these young kids, turn out to be really good players. I mean, Winovich, I could see taking this to the next level. Could you not?
No.
He was protected last year more than any other team.
I think that was...
I don't know.
Yeah, I believe...
I think he could take it to the next level.
Every sack that he had was a coverage sack or...
Yeah,
a,
I wouldn't...
Hey,
yeah.
You're free sack because no one else is blocking you. That's the guy that I would say, if we're going to go guys that take a drop-off, it's him.
Starting to come around, Christian.
No. Well, before this is in stone, I gotta see some preseason games.
So what are you down to? How many wins?
I gotta see some preseason games.
Are you talking about a 12 game season, or are we talking about a 10 game season now?
Let me see the preseason games first.
I'm not sure we get the
16. Do you
want to
tell
anyway.
Him, or should I tell him?
Mm. Preseason games this weekend. It's Thursday, right?
No preseason game.
I like it.
Been all canceled.
No Steve Bird interview.
Is this the dress rehearsal? When is the dress rehearsal?
Is it going to be one?
Trevor Lawrence.
College football's got their own issues.
Josh Fields.
Yeah. Oh, please. Nobody. Don't even waste your time with the.
Hey, not too many teams need quarterbacks. I'm telling you. Maybe the first five teams in the draft might not need a quarterback.
All right. Coming up next, we had an opportunity to.
They don't need a quarterback.
Yeah, okay. Right? Had an opportunity to watch the Celtics and the Bruins this weekend.
They don't need one.
Celtics, some interesting take that Christian gave earlier in the program. I need to hear again, and we'll let you hear it, of somebody he believes is the most important player on the Boston Celtics. Probably not somebody that you're picking. We'll do all of that and more coming up next right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If Jason Tatum would have played average, they would have beat the Milwaukee Bucks. And I'm going to say this again. No top team in the Eastern Conference feared the deer. The Celtics walking out of there today is to me, I don't believe in moral of losing and you know, the moral losses, whatever the case may they want to call it. But the Celtics are leaving that arena saying, oh, yeah, we face these guys. We got them.
That's Kendrick Perkins after the game the other night. Oh, my God. We got them? You lost the game. By the way, they had no
Eric Bledsoe. It's a moral victory.
They had no Connaughton. They had two... Well, you know, good bench player and certainly their starting guard, point guard, and a guy that opens up all sorts of stuff for all of their shoot. What are we talking about here?
You don't believe in moral victories?
No.
Really? And I think so important.
No, and I think you got exposed. And again, Daniel Theis plays his ass off. I like the way he plays. I'm not trying to pick on him. He is just not a really talented player. He gets the most out of his ability. But you could see it last night with Nurkic, who had exploited the interior. You saw it the other night with the Bucks doing the same thing. And my guess is Toronto's going to do the same thing. They're going to see them later on in the week. Philly, by the way, total dogs. I don't know if you guys watched any of Philly against the Pacers. They are dogs.
See, people keep talking about Philly
dogs
as if we should, like, teams should be afraid of them.
Now,
like,
so forget
all
about
those
them.
Issues that they had before the pandemic are still there. Yeah, you're right. No heart. And I tell you what, they're so selfish. Like, they, yes. It's like they're the team the Celtics were last year in the playoffs.
Yes, good.
When
very
Kyrie
good.
Irving were there.
Very
lots
good.
Lots of talent, but nobody likes each other.
Yeah, I think they're total dogs. And again, I know that Scal was talking about him, and
loves
they're going to be able to communicate when they get into their communicate.
Oh, yeah.
Joel Embiid got into Shake Milton's face, and the two were screaming at each other on the side.
Hey, Bob, shut up!
Exactly. That's what they were doing. But Embiid got his 41. He got his 21 rebounds. Exactly what you said, Christian. He's satisfied, and yet they lose against the Pacers team that had no Sabonis and no Brogdon. They're dogs.
Yeah, forget I don't believe in them at all.
I want them in the first round. If I'm the Celtics, I'd rather have them than the Pacers. Because the Pacers will strap them on, and they'll play their ass off, okay? These guys are dogs. These guys will fold on you.
Pacers are beating the Wizards right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, which isn't whatever.
No, but I love this. We feel like
I
NCAA.
I just find it, I mean, listen, I don't know. If you're in the East, the whole thing with Perk, nobody fears the deer. Nobody's worried about Giannis. No one's worried about that team. I don't believe that.
Listen.
I mean, I don't think teams are sitting there saying, oh, they're unbeatable by any means, but they're the best team in the East. I think everybody knows it. The Celtics team, okay. I don't know about you guys. Do you find it – how have you felt like watch the Bruins the other night or the Celtics? It feels like everything is still like exhibition. I don't feel right watching
– A lot of people are saying that.
Yeah, and I agree with it. You know, you watch it and it's like, I can't speak for this because, you know, for me personally, like, it's baseball season and I'm still watching as bad as that team is. Like, I'm watching some of those games, you know, doing some of those games, but it's baseball season. Like, I know the Bruins is still like the play-in seeding thing, but it just doesn't seem like it's easy to get into. Hockey fans, yeah, you must be loving it. Basketball, I know. And I am of both. It's just, it's hard. It's a hard watch. It's exhibitions.
I watched a little bit of hockey over the weekend. Matter of fact, a few of the games, I saw the Bruins, both of the games. I would say this about the Bruins. Remember the Bruins were kind of bitching about having to actually, we have the best record in the league. We're really going to have to go into a tournament to seed us. And I almost get the feeling they don't want to be in this tournament. The way they're playing, they don't want to be in this tournament. There isn't that aggressiveness out of them, but I'm seeing it on other teams. You saw it with the Flyers. If you watched any of the Canadians the other night, they're desperate. They're trying to get, you know, keep this thing going. But I got that from the Bruins that they weren't. But why do you think it's more like exhibition? Lack of fans?
I will say this.
No,
let me ask some things. Because it feels like Summer League. Feels like the NBA Summer League. Even the coaches, nobody's wearing suits. They're wearing, you know, polo shirts. Or like Brad Stevens had like a bright green Celtics pullover. It just looked casual, I guess, even though it isn't.
Like a summer league game, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, well, they really don't mean anything.
Is that it, Lou?
It just feels that way. And can we, the lack of fans.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see when the playoffs start, right? The Bruins are in this thing. I'm watching.
Deuce there. Deuce
so this game, Tampa's up 2-1 right now over Washington, the other team, right? So maybe when they get into, okay, here we go. You find out your opponent, now you're in the playoffs, it'll hopefully feel different.
Yeah.
That's all. Maybe it's just a wait so long. Again, it's like August, and you're just like, okay.
Maybe.
All right. And the same thing with the Celtics. When you find out who that first-round opponent is, whether it's Philly, and you're like, okay, now we can settle and we watch a little bit of playoffs. But all this buildup right now, it's tough to watch.
Lou, the guys are starting at what, 12 and
different,
you know,
times.
One and, you know, three. Oh, no,
it's
four.
Great. My son-in-law is psyched. Like from noon to like 10:30, there's NHL all over the place.
Oh, it's like the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Like March Madness.
Same with
you're
NBA.
Watching games all day, all
it's
day
great.
Long.
It's just. Yeah.
I mentioned this earlier and I'll say it again. The Fox to me was the most real as far as coming up with these fake sounds and everything else. There was only one problem. So you'd see the virtual fans in the stands, and then they'd take another angle of it, and the fans were gone. They left quickly or whatever. So you gotta, in some ways, I think, Lou, buy into this stuff, right? Because so much of it is fake. I think that's part of it, isn't it?
I don't know.
So earlier, we got into this whole thing about who's the most important on the on the Celtics. And I'm going to let Christian take the lead on this one.
Well, you actually brought this up. I think you said, what did you learn? I think you asked me, what did you learn? Okay, right. It's only been two games, but whatever. What I learned is that Marcus Smart is the most important person on this Celtics team. Mm. He's the most important player. Now, you can ho and you can hum and that's just crazy. Yeah, that's outlandish. That's crazy. The guy impacts more plays than Tatum, than Brown, than Kemba Walker. Whenever there's a play that is being made, he's making it. Whenever there's an impact play, whenever Jaylen Brown is able to make a last second shot, it's probably because Marcus Smart gave him that ability, gave him that chance by getting a steal, by disrupting the flow of the game. I'll even go back to the first game on Friday. I mean, he's one charge away from, you know, winning that game, which to me is just as important as hitting a three-point shot with no time remaining. What's the difference? One guy takes a charge, the other guy makes a three-pointer to win the game. Both end up doing the same thing.
Take a charge.
But you don't I'm saying in the end, they lost the game, okay? And Tatum didn't do anything. Nothing. He didn't make any shots. He was not an impact player. Was Marcus Smart an impact player even in a loss?
No,
the answer is yes. Well, I'll answer it for you.
Because Tatum didn't play well, and that's why he's the most important player. Now, I would argue that maybe with the injury to Walker, you could talk about how he might be the most important because you need him 100% healthy. But your best player is your most important player, and that's Jason Tatum. If he played well, maybe you beat Milwaukee. That's the difference.
Okay, and you're saying your best player is your most important. I'm saying if you don't have Jason Tatum, you throw some other guy out there that can shoot three-pointers, and Marcus Smart is still
just some other guy that can shoot three-pointers?
Sure. The league is filled with them. I saw a bunch of them yesterday on Portland.
Okay,
they got back in the game, they kept hitting threes.
Let's go back to the Milwaukee game. The biggest problem with the Milwaukee game for the Boston Celtics was that Marcus Smart was their best player on the floor. He can't be the best player on the floor if you're going to win those games. He's a important player. Maybe number three. I guess you could try to make an argument at number two. I'm not sure you're going to be successful because he does have limitations, but he's a terrific defensive player. He can defend different positions. I think he's a leader. Plus, he's got balls, and you need guys like that to win championship, guys that are going to go out there and fight and die for loose balls and everything else. But if he's the best player on the floor for you, you're not winning squat.
What he does is not sexy. So it doesn't get valued as much as like a great play. Jaylen Brown had a great game. But Tatum and Brown, they both played great. But you'll never sit there and see the impact or never give Marcus Smart the same credit for his impact as you do Jason Tatum.
Because he doesn't have the same impact.
He does.
You're out of your mind.
A loose ball that generates points off, so points that are generated off a turnover that he creates, nobody else. That to me is devalued to you.
Listen, he's
so
really
one guy makes a layup, big deal. You can shoot a layup, okay? Well, how hard is that?
Breakaway. There you go.
It's consistent every single night. He never disappears.
No. Stop it.
Never disappears. It is.
His offense is inconsistent. And many times he is involved in the offense. Now, he was part of your offense in that game against Milwaukee. All right? But no, that is not true. His defense,
more than just defense. I mean, like,
offense. His offense is not consistent.
I'm not saying he's not a great offensive player. I mean, we used to rag on him. Listen, stop shooting, Marcus Smart. Stop shooting. I mean, that's...
His moments.
I know, but we think that he's pigeonholed based on the past as just this out of control, hitting the backboard type of guy. Where over the last two games...
He's better than that now.
I think he's much better than that. I think he's the most important player on this team.
I think you're right.
You can remove Jason Tatum and still have a chance to win. You know, you can see Lou will sit there and say, well, the reason you lost is because Jason Tatum didn't play well. Okay, well, what if Marcus Smart's not on that team? You're still losing.
Here's the thing. Because you've gone so far to above Marcus Smart. Like Tyler once said that he thinks he's the most overrated player in the game.
That's true.
In the city, rather.
He is based on...
Given your opinion on Marcus Smart, then I think that I might agree with Tyler, because that's your opinion.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
He's a winning player. He's more of a role player. a winning role player. He brings intensity. He brings defense. Every championship team needs a guy like Marcus Smart. I would agree. But he's just that. It is still about Tatum, Kemba, and Jaylen Brown as far as, you know, and I understand this guy makes winning plays. I love Marcus Smart. But I can't say he's the most important player on that team.
Well,
it's the other guys. If they don't play well, they're not going
to
win.
And so, to me, it was based on two games in 3 days, he stood out in both games.
And he does.
More than usual. More than maybe it's because we just haven't seen him. But if you're going to give – if the team was going to vote for an MVP, who would it be? If the team, if the Celtics team, the players had to vote for an MVP,
I don't know.
Who do you –
Jason Tatum.
Enes Kanter.
Daniel Tice.
Daniel Tatum. You know what you sound like?
First of all, you.
In talking about Marcus Smart, you know what you sound like?
Who do I sound like?
Candyman. When he talks about...
Oh! See, that them's fighting words.
Well, I'm just saying.
That's not even close to being accurate.
He does all the little things.
He can dribble up the court.
He can play point. The offense runs through him. He sets screens. He spreads the floor. In defense, he can stop anyone. He's the best defender in the world.
He is not Al Horford.
Oh my God! Whoa, I love it when an expert, someone who actually played the game, Glenn, didn't sit there and just ride the coattails of some other guy calling the game.
Shut up.
Whatever.
Kendrick Perkins.
Oh Christ!
Please
go ahead.
Suddenly we're not taking. Wait, we play Kendrick Perkins sound all the time.
Listen, I love Perkins.
So what, now we don't want to listen to him.
No, I love Perkins. He's willing to speak, and he'll say speak his mind, but he will say something totally opposite.
But what
tomorrow,
does he say?
Or the next time.
Kendrick Perkins. Celtics offense runs so much better when Marcus Smart is running the point.
I agree.
Agreed.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Agreed.
That's his different than saying he's the most important player in the team.
And decision making is so underrated. Don't at me. Carry on.
But okay. How can
I would rather have him running the offense than Kemba Walker. Yes.
If he's the best
Kemba
player
Walker,
in the team, how can he be underrated?
Right. Kemba Walker's an undersized two guard. That's what he is.
He is, like I said, you give me a reason. So other than shooting, what does Jason Tatum do? And he's streaky. What does he do? You have two games.
I don't know.
Moving one game, he sucks.
Kicking the break.
I mean, I'm just saying. Other than shooting,
break. What does kicking the break mean?
I mean, other than
pushing
shooting,
the ball
I think
up
he means
the floor,
starting
part
the break.
Of your offense.
It's just
create
up,
your offense.
It's just making up.
Get a better
time.
But other than scoring, what does James Harden do? Like you can't say other than scoring.
I don't like James
guys,
Harden. I would not have James
well,
Harden.
I'm just saying,
on
when a guy's out there shooting and putting up 30 points, I'm saying he's good with his performance.
I'm just saying. So when the question was, what stood out to you?
That's a fine question.
He had the most in two games. He had the most impactful plays.
I don't mind that
in both games.
I don't mind that. What stands out to you?
He's Marcus the most important player.
Marcus Smart stood out for you for two games.
He's the most important player
you're going
on that team.
Most important player.
Yeah, and I think. But when it's all said and done, you will agree with me. How about
no,
that?
I won't.
No, I look
won't.
Me in the eye.
I won't.
I would say a role player. I think Lou's being a little bit dismissive by calling him a role player.
Oh, he's a jerk.
He's a great role player.
Because I think he's the leader on the team, and I think you need guys like that. So, to me, he's the perfect player if you're a championship contender. You need a guy with balls. You need a guy that's going to be the leader. It's going to stand up, okay? And Tatum doesn't show that, at least now, with his personality.
See,
but the way you're going to win, and the most important player is the guy that's going to be a top 10, top 5 player in the league. And right now, Tatum is the closest you have. He's still not there. He's the closest you have to being that guy. He was the player of the month in the month of February, averaging over 30 points a game. That's why they were good in February.
Every championship team has a guy like that. But I don't think anybody.
He's not that guy. He's not.
What?
He's not that.
Is he Draymond Green?
I think he's probably better. Because Draymond Green is not handling the ball like Marcus Smart is.
Oh, I'm just saying. So is Draymond Green the most important player on Golden State when they won? Or
I
was
think
it Steph Curry?
Curry is that much better.
What does he
I
do
think
other
there's
than
a big
shoot?
Difference between Steph Curry and Jason Tatum.
What does he do other than
Are
shoot?
Are you saying that Jason Tatum is just as good as Steph
no,
Curry?
No, I'm just saying, what does he do other than
well,
shoot?
Well, then, for me, it's not even
about
a conversation. It's not a conversation. I'd
He's
still
a better
take
all
Clay
defensive
Thompson.
Team.
Good defender.
I'd still take Klay Thompson over Jason Tatum.
How about the other guy, Kevin Durant?
Well, it's different. Kevin Durant is both.
Well, I'm just
he's both.
Yeah, well,
when he wants to be.
Well, Steph Curry is just all he does is shoot.
You can't. You're not. I'm not going to.
But Draymond
Green's
not the most important player.
Draymond Green can't hold Marcus Smart's jock.
Oh, come on!
He can't
for
hold
Christ's
his jock.
You got to be kidding me.
What do you want me to do?
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Oh my God. I don't even know where to go with this one.
What did Bird really do? Shoot threes.
Yeah, Bird sucked too. All he did was shoot.
All Jordan did was dunk.
Great defensive player. Oh, I knew Bird. He was awesome. Draymond, we're comparing Draymond.
What, when it's all, listen, I'm saying for this team.
Marcus Smart, how many All-Star teams
when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter. When it's all said and done, this year.
Usually the important player, the most important player on the team makes the All-Star team.
I would agree, and then Al Horford made five.
Usually, that's the case.
And don't compare him to freaking Al Horford, who legit just disappeared on a nightly basis. Marcus Smart never disappears. Never disappears. Now, he may throw
his
some bricks up there.
Disappears
he may
a throw lot. Some.
He may break the backboard. Okay.
How about his offense when that disappears?
Yeah.
Listen, I love him. I think he's a terrific player. To me, you got to have him on the team. He is ultra important, especially
you're
if just, you're chasing
you're
a championship.
You're devaluing,
but he's not the most important player.
You're devaluing how important he is.
No, I just see, that's where you go. You're taking
totally,
the words.
No,
you're turning them all
you've
around.
You've gone so far.
You're totally devaluing.
You're making us rip the guy. Neither one of us want
that's
to.
Your we don't fault. Want to rip the guy. We love the guy.
Your
he's terrific.
Fault. You can't see straight.
You're out of control. This hour has been brought to you by Bill Tate's Building Products, and they're embarrassed with it. You're a local Anderson Windows dealer. We know ESPN loves the Yankees. Boy, was it evident last night. That's coming up next.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
Oh, I'll let it go.
I'm letting
no,
you go.
Good.
Last Call.
It's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Let's down the stretch they come.
Let's get a f***ing in.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Great time to clean out that garage. Donate that old car to Cars for Kids now, offering contact-free pickup. Call today, 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or online at carsforkids.com. I want you to hear the difference. Matt Viskirchian doing the call of Rafael Devers' home run and then Aaron Judge's home run. Tell me if you hear a little bit of difference in the tone of his voice.
Oh, Rafi Devers. A pitch down and in and sent a long way into right. Right into the happy zone for a left-handed power bat. First of the year for Devers.
Yeah, so that was, by the way, a home run in the seventh to make it 7-6.
And it was a shot.
To take the lead. It went halfway up the bleachers, for Christ's sakes. It was destroyed.
Yes.
But.
Oh, Rafi Devers. A pitch down and in and sent a long way into right.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a wow.
Right into the right? Happy zone.
That yeah, was, so we got, was, he yeah, got excited. Was, yeah, he got excited about Aaron Judge's first home run, but not quite as excited as this one.
Oh.
2-0 to Judge. He's hit a bunch to left. He did it again. Oh my. Second of the night for Aaron Judge.
Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Aaron Judge. Wow.
A-Rod.
Okay. A-Rod brings up three of the greatest
I know.
Tiger athletes Woods, in the history of the game.
Yeah, LeBron so. James and Aaron Judge.
They don't belong together yet. This is Aaron Judge's fourth season, okay? Two of them that have been injury riddled where he's played 112 and 102 games. What the?
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Okay.
Two of the Judges hit a
listen to that.
So as much as a problem as I had with that one, and his first one was outrageous as well, the whole idea of A-Rod, coming out and comparing him to the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
What are you, crazy? Yeah. Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods?
Well, how many times have I said A-Rod's just stick to talking baseball, like the filler stuff is when he loses me. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. You're just like, really?
I tell you what, the last time I heard an announcer get that excited was on this home run.
Swung on a high fly ball deep to left field. Way back it goes. And you can forget about it. Boom Merlone is right underneath Rusty Bennett at Fenway Park. The local kid goes deep, and the Red Sox lead it 5-0.
Yeah, you got a little excited right there.
No, it was crazy last night, but whatever. Our Jets did crush it.
But, you know, those were all pretty good. This, nothing is better than this.
Oh, there goes deep left center. This is out of here. It's going to hit the wall. No, it isn't. Damn it.
Damn it, it's caught.
Tone just totally changed.
Jesus.
Hi, Mutt.
Hi, Mutt.
It does sound like Vescursion right there. A little Matt Vescursion.
Is that Mutt?
You mentioned you heard Joe Castig. They got the night off, so we got a full 4-hour Mutt at night tonight. Ooh. We'll start with these Red Sox. Is MLB going to cancel the season? Glenn might have been right about something. And will Red Sox fans care?
We debated it on
Friday. And we'll debate it again tonight to start the show.
You still think it's going to...
I think they're going to fight right through, baby. That's okay. So they canceled 30 games
tonight. I hope
they
do. Okay. Right.
The Cardinals won't play for a week and a half. They'll still play baseball. We'll yell about that to start. Bradford in studio, 8 o'clock. And at 7:30, we'll go in-depth with a state representative on what happened last week with sports betting here in the state. Hashtag let us bet. So full 4 hours tonight. Got to work.
Sounds good. Tomorrow, 2 o'clock, boys. We'll do it again. And by the way, Max Kellerman, anniversary of making the most outrageous prediction ever in sports talk radio.
Here comes the cliff.
Oh, we'll check in 4 years later and really put it to him because it's over. You got 4 years. It didn't work out. You were wrong.
2:30, right?
2:30. We'll do it tomorrow. All right, boys, have a good one.
All right.
Stay safe out there, everyone. Is it time to walk away? I done.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.